The word of God is the seed of creation. The word of God is life.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned by God to go raise this end time armies.
Why do we have ministers who are misbehaving? Many have never been trained. They've read books about ministry, but you must understand that reading book is not the same thing as being held by the hand and told what to do. When you were young, you went everywhere you wanted to go. But the time is coming that you become old. Another will hold you by the hand and lead you to places you didn't want to go. That's training.
Get set for an awakening.
Get set for an awakening.
Who is excited to be in the house tonight? Amen. You know, I said something before coming here. Primarily, this is a learning platform for us. It is only a divine privilege to be here to hold the mic. I want to celebrate my spiritual parents. Thank you. Wow. Yesterday I was seated here and I was just looking at Papa. And I noticed I was fighting tears because I was just saying, thank you, God, for bringing me here. I just couldn't stop saying that. I mean, my wife and her are so privileged and blessed to be in this house. We are forever blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I want to stand on all existing protocols and celebrate all God's servants in the house. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands and give God praise? For his word we know will fall upon us like a rain. I'd like us to bless him and be very, very intentional. Be very intentional. Be very intentional. In the name of Jesus, just go ahead and bless him. Bless him. And I want us to pray that our eyes of understanding may be enlightened. Our eyes of understanding may be enlightened. May be enlightened. That there is light, there is clarity. We receive the grace to build on pre-existing milestones. We receive that grace. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a big hand tonight? Amen. Please, let's be seated. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. If you have been following this conference since the beginning, you know it's been from one level of fire to another. It's been so, so strong. I was telling Pastor Fola that he has taught us the what and the how. Alright? And I had a question for him and it was why. Why will you help us or let us hear this once in a while? After now, I'm tying you down so you can't come and bless us. Help me ask him why. Alright? So, we are so blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me say this. I believe strongly that one of the things God is going to be doing in this season is to bring us into rest. Is that okay now? To bring us into what? Into rest. I'd like us to please pay attention. So I'm going to be teaching on what an excellent ministry is. What an excellent ministry is. So we're going to be seeing different sides to it. So first and foremost, let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 4 from verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Alright, so the closest word that describes what it is to be a minister in the first place is the word stewardship. To be a minister is to be a servant, to serve. Alright, that's the closest word that describes a minister. Alright, he said every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As good stewards. Can we say stewardship? Say it again loud and clear. Stewardship. Now, please, I want us to pay attention, all right? I believe strongly that also one of the things God is going to be doing is to be bringing prophetic perspectives, all right, to our lives, particularly in this session. It's been a prophetic meeting, so I want us to please pay attention. Ministry is stewardship, all right? There is no other definition to ministry aside service. Ministry is stewardship. So every other thing that comes will be in the context of the service. Ministry is stewardship. So we are stewards of the grace of God upon our lives. We are stewards of the skills, all right, the abilities of the Spirit vested upon our lives. We are stewards. The moment the grace on the life of an individual is no longer serving his generation, the fellow is not a minister. All right? And see, the word service is a very, very, very strong word. I want us to look at the scripture, Ephesians chapter number 4 from verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. All right? Ephesians chapter number 4 from verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. It says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you should walk worthy of the vocation. Use the word vocation. All right? He said, I beseech you that you should walk worthy of the vocation, all right, wherewith you have been called. And I want to read this, you know, I like to read the scriptures in many other translations just for you to, you know, get some things. Look at it. Amplified said, so I, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, mature behavior, a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. Now, New Living Translation says, I, therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Now, let me quickly go to Message and then the Passion Translation. Message, all right, and the Passion Translation. Now, look at it. Message says, in the light of this, here is what I want you to do. While I looked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God has called you to travel. He said, I want you to walk, better off, run. Now look at the Passion Translation says, as a minister of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank. In a way that is suitable to your high rank, given to you in your divine calling. Now let me share a story with you that helps you better understand that ministry service. All right, I'm going to share a story with you. But one of the men I love to read his material is the man Bob Jones. All right, share a story in church several times. Very, very deep story, but sometimes laughable. Bob Jones was ministering in a meeting, and Bob Jones, all right, had gone home to be with the Lord. He died as a prophet. Now, while Bob Jones was ministering in the meeting, a very, how will I put it now, religious church, all right, somewhere in the middle of the ministration, he began to talk and began to say macaroni and cheese. Now imagine in the midst of this, the closest to that in terms of our own contemporary food would be, what's that again? That's the closest to, you got what I'm saying? What macaroni and cheese is to be Americans is what amala and so on is to us. You understand that? Now imagine a very serious meeting. You have bishop seated and somebody just saying amala, ewedu, fried meat, amala, ewedu. And guess what? He couldn't stop saying that for a minute. All right? And the ministers in that meeting got their note, right, wrote there, round up, and they exited him out of the church and never invited him again. Now what they didn't realize was that there was a woman in that meeting whose son, all right, was down. And there's been different prophecies from different places that God was going to heal him. And he's not been healed. And she said, Lord, speak to me in a language that just you and I will understand. That I will know that your word is yes and amen. And while the man of God was ministering, was saying macaroni and cheese, the church was confused, but the woman understood what he was saying. Because he was actually mentioning the best food of the sun. So there are times that ministry in its excellent nature doesn't make sense to men, but it makes sense to the one who has called you. So the one who judges ministry excellent is God, as he has said yesterday. Are you following that? I want us to please pay attention. Are you following what I'm saying there? Now, there are two parts to that. In the book of Luke, chapter number 2, scripture describes Jesus to grow in different dimensions in favor with God and also with men. Now, you must understand that the rating of men in terms of ministry excellence will be in terms of the aesthetics, in terms of the beauty, in terms of the coloration, which aids perception about the ministry, of which those definition is just like an icing on the cake. But there is no importance to icing if there is no cake. Do you understand that now? You can't just come to a place and look at an icing and I say this is a very beautiful thing. You can't sit down and start eating it. It's going to run your stomach. So an icing is important first and foremost when the cake is intact. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let me show you some scriptures. Let's look at the way God sees ministry. Revelations, chapter number 2. How do I say this? Look up, people of God. There are many things that is putting people under pressure that should not put them under pressure. All right? Because our rating of what is excellent is already corrupt. So many ministries are leaving what will work, chasing what others borrowed. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. You know, God began to give me a warning and then said that ministries and ministers, all right, some people are copying those that should copy them. I mean, imagine attending studying a course for 6 years that is not accredited. The accreditation of a ministry before God is that they have a candlestick burning before the throne. There are ministries that has no candlestick before the throne, meaning that the closest thing to call it is spiritual scam. There is somebody who stands to minister to the people who is not standing to minister to God. Are you following what I'm saying here? And the thing is, please, I'd like us to pay attention. Money can give you the assignment that God didn't call you to do. Money can buy icing when what you should pursue is the cake. And when icing comes, you settle and say you have all that is required. And that's what I want us to pay attention. I want us to look at a church, a particular church. My God. Revelation chapter number 2 from verse 8. Look at what Jesus was saying about this church. He said unto the angel of the church, Revelation 2 from verse 8, he said unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, these things write. These things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty, but you are rich. All right. I know the blasphemy of them, which says they are Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. My God. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful to death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now let me show you another church that Jesus was speaking to also in a letter that he sent to the church. Is somebody following me here? Now, look at it. Let's look at Revelation chapter number 3. From verse 1. Revelation chapter number 3 from verse 1. He said unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write, this thing says he that has the 7 spirit of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. That is based on human judgment, based on their conclusion. You look exactly in terms of externalities like people who are alive. But they said the conclusion is that where life really matters, you are not there. You are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, What is the issue with this church? It was a church that decided to live on their reputation. All right? Now, you see, it is nothing wrong to be at a state where you know you need revival. But when you decide to live on the externalities, the accolades of men, and you decide to make their judgment your reality, you are part of the church in Sardis. Look at what happened. Pastor Fola was saying this yesterday. When Samuel, in 1 Samuel 16, got to the house of Jesse, and scripture said that he made the sons to pass before him, first and foremost Eliab. And as Eliab stood before him, Samuel looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord said, no. Alright, don't look at him, nor his height, or his stature, or his countenance, for I have refused him. The same word God used for Saul, God used for a man who has not gotten there. Meaning that the criteria that was required for him to get there, he had failed before getting to the throne. The devil has operated in his life as a thief, a form of thief that steals what you don't know you will have. Eliab can never cry for restoration because what was stolen is what he had never had physically. So he had failed a test of something that should later come. And he had missed the test and will not get what should later come. You see, if you fail the test in the secret place, the devil steals from you what you don't know you will have or should have. So it is a kind of failure that you can never know except revealed by God that you need restoration. That something you have not held has been taken. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. I was sharing with somebody yesterday, and I want to say these things in context and in respect for the body of Christ. No, this morning. And I told him, he's a campus fellowship president, I said, listen to me. The mistakes you don't make on campus, the sin you don't fall into as a president, it will be difficult for you to fall into those things outside. I say this in, alright, it's just a plain language. What happens is, let me bring it closer. There's a practice, alright, that goes on in the body of Christ. I mean, Paul was speaking to Timothy and he was saying he should strengthen himself. And he was reminding him of the faith that was in his grandmother. Alright? Meaning that Paul knew Timothy to the point that he knew his grandmother. Sometimes, in the name of doing what is in vogue, many ministers get out of the situation where God wants to use them to boast that this is my beloved son. Do you get what I'm saying? For instance, it is a common practice in ministry that the moment you tend to begin to see a level of influence and success, you just begin to tell yourself that the hand that I've raised me is not able to continue fathering me at this level. Meanwhile, in the eternal counsel of God, he wants to raise a man and show the world through the man that you can be raised and yet be loyal. For him to do that, there are added graces that will come upon a man that will manifest that. When you port, the grace comes upon the one who stays. You just notice that things are not the way they should be, but you can't tell what is missing. Because when God calls a man for a thing, he gives grace for it. Not just grace, there are also rewards for doing it faithfully. But you see, the moment you port out of the thing, all that is, it is an allocation for a job description, not for a person. So the moment you wander out of the job description, alright, you miss the allocations. And then you miss the opportunity for God to say, this is my beloved son. Let me tell you this. You see, the word influence is the anointing called hear ye him. It doesn't come up, nobody is heard or seen until God calls the attention of a generation to them. And now, please understand what I'm saying there. People may clap. Meanwhile, the man they are clapping for, at the time what God said talk about or do, at the time God could call a generation to hear him, he has changed his message. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. People sit down and do 2 + 2. What is the new thing they are preaching now that is bringing crowd? Revival. Okay, revival plus fire. and then you scream your lungs out. It is not your voice texture that determines your ministry office. It is the anointing that makes the difference. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. We may believe that when you shout, you are an apostle. You know what I'm saying? People who shout, it can be a method. But when you do it in a way that it is not the system of God for your life, you will land in the hospital. I was in a meeting. We had two ministers. I was just seated. I opened my tab. I wanted to join. I couldn't hear. I like to be very honest. I couldn't hear. It was fire. I knew it was fire, but I couldn't get the substance of the fire. You know, when the other person came, I heard the person. It just spoke for like 5 minutes, but I jotted a lot. But that other one was like an hour, but I didn't hear. I went to change my seat and sit close to the speaker. I knew I had to run again, you know. And what happens is that sometimes the devil attacks what will get the job done, and people use borrowed battle axes. Sometimes, you know, the tendency for pressure in a person's lifetime, he speaks like 20 different people. Who he speaks like per time, it depends on who is listening at the moment. That's not the way to be an excellent minister. Alright? That is not the way to be an excellent minister. Now, let me ask you. Okay. Do you understand? When Papa is laughing like that. Hallelujah. Alright. Please follow me. Are you being blessed? Are you sure? Alright. How many of you have done exams in school before? Let me share my own experience. It was in primary school. I came out of an English exam. I was jumping. I did it. Oh, great. I didn't know it was words and opposite. I thought it was synonyms. So until my colleagues are saying number one is number, then I checked. So ultimately, the one who marks your script is the one whose method you need to understand to know what excellence is. Meaning that as a minister, see, ministry is to be done with soberness. Because it is not over until it is over. The one who rates our work ultimately has certain yardstick. Second Timothy 2 verse 19 says that nevertheless the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, God knows those that are his, and let everyone that name of Christ perform iniquity. So there is a sure foundation. Now let me ask you a few things. Alright, and we're going to go to the flip side of what excellence in ministry. Now what is the yardstick for saying a ministry is excellent? Now let me ask you a question. Which ministry, alright, is reputed to be the most excellent ministry in scriptures? Talk to me now. The ministry of Jesus. Alright? He did that ministry for many years. 3.5 years. Now, I'm not using that, you see, that thank God for Pastor Fola's teaching. That is not a yardstick to justify, maybe you say the short life or something, and say when you are done, it's not about how far, how long. See, do this thing long. And you have to understand the principles it takes to do it for long. Do you get what I'm saying? You didn't answer me. Okay. I was reading the story, I'm not going to mention his name, of one of the men who had passed. All the songs he sang was about tired of the world, tired of the world, tired of the world. Maybe it's an inspiration. Don't be tired. The body of Christ needs you. Alright? And there are ways to be tired without willing to be tired. And one of those ways is to walk and do ministry in offense and strife. You will tire out. In fact, you will stress your calling. Let me say this, and I love the body of Christ, like Papa said. I just love the body of Christ. Sometimes, your body can take you out of your calling. If but see this thing we call budding. You see people go on Facebook and say, is God living on Facebook? Is that the place to appropriate what is catching you? Budding. Alright. Somebody says, I have budding for let me use the word, let me use something that is I have budding for the teaching ministry in the body of Christ. Oh, I have budding for teaching ministry. If that budding is not appropriated in love, you will appropriate in such a way that all teachers will avoid you. What the devil does in Luke 4, when the devil was done tempting Jesus, scripture says that the devil left him for a while. So in the system of the devil, he is not done because you have done something right. He can still mess it up after you have done it right. So what he hopes to do is that having gotten it right, walk in pride. Walk in arrogance. Begin to believe that you are the only one getting it right. And you will make a mess of that calling. Are you following what I'm saying? I want us to examine the ministry of Jesus. We're going to look at its surface level and tell me how excellent this is. All right? Was the ministry of Jesus excellent despite the many challenges he went through? Alright, in John chapter number 6, Jesus was ministering and telling them, alright, that you will accept, you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And the Bible said, they said this is a very hard sin. And scripture says, all that followed him left him. And the rest, you know, do you know what it means to have a congregation of 512? And because in the middle of a sermon, based on something you were saying that they did not understand, you look back sometimes and you discover that 500 had left. And his response to the 12 was, will you also go? How successful is that? Still amongst the 12 that was left, one was stealing. He was not just a thief. He sold Jesus. Now, he didn't just betray him. He betrayed him with a kiss. The most affectionate way to kill a man. One amongst the 12. He's been stealing. He had the purse. Another guy amongst them. I didn't even know how this one did it. His name was Thomas. This guy, after Jesus had risen from the dead, appeared to them and was showing everyone believes. Thomas said no. Until Jesus said, come and put your hands in my hands and touch my side. And he said, oh, it's you. And Jesus said, blessed is that generation whom having not seen yet believes. Still among those left, in the book of Matthew chapter number 16, all right, Jesus was talking to them. He said, who do men say that I am? Peter answered and said, you are the Son of God. He went on to say, on this maturity, I can tell you further things. Speaking about how he was going to be killed and how he was going to resurrect, Peter drew him aside and began to rebuke him. Still among these same guys, in John chapter number 21, 7 out of 12 went back to fishing after Jesus had resurrected. Peter, this same one we call beloved, James and John, followed. And they went. How do you look at that ministry and not say this is trash? He had risen from the grave. Those that he left behind had nothing to write home about. They were busy doing their own stuff, busy going back to their own old venture. Nothing serious about their lives. Went back to fishing. Jesus had to come back. Whenever I read that John 21, I read it with tears. And scripture says, Jesus showed himself again on this wise. Meaning that he ought not to come, but for this reason he had to come. Now look at it now. Let's start from verse 1. John 21 from verse 1. Alright? After this thing, Jesus showed himself to the disciples again at the Sea of Tiberias on this wise, showed himself. Yes, verse 2. And there were together Simon, Peter, Thomas called the Didymus as expected, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two others. And Simon Peter said to them, I go a fishing. That is, I don't have time. It's like all these things God has preached for 3.5 years. There's nothing like, there's no hope in this. I go a fishing. And then they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. Now verse 5. Quickly. Can you give us 5 quickly? Then Jesus said unto them, Children, the heir of the house, as long as he's a child, differeth him nothing from a servant. So he be Lord of all. Children. Why? Children pursues meat. Have you any meat? No. They answered him, no. And look at verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net to the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Let's continue, please. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat, for he was naked. That's how passionate he was, Peter. He was naked. And he cast himself into the sea. Plenty zeal, but it doesn't endure for long. Alright? Verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land. Alright? But as it were 200 cubits dragging the net, as soon as they were come to the land, alright? Continue. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there. And fish laid thereon and bread. Where did Jesus get it from? Alright, the provision of these things was already in their calling. Let me say this. You know what the temptation of Jesus was checking? The devil kept saying, if you are the Son of God, do this. And in the rendition of Luke, he said, you should bow. And I will give you the kingdoms of this world, for it has been delivered unto me. What the devil was telling Jesus is, let me check. If what you are really after is the salvation of this man, or the glory that will come after. If it is the glory that will come after, there is no need to die. I can give you. And that is what is happening to many ministers. There are people who are not passionate about the call, but they have seen what ministers of God look like. When they watch videos, they love the shoe, the jets, and the suit. And they fantasize about it. And that is why this temptation is enough for these men to fall. All the devil needs to do, all right, is to give the fake of what they are looking for. And then you see ministers begin to bow. And many people are bowing. Many people are bowing. You just see a man who you know to be very passionate about God. I mean, you guys have prayed together. The call of God is upon this guy. He's got some vision. After a while, just come to tell you that, so now he's about how to eat. And before you know it, the call is a forgotten thing because it was never a passion before. What I'm trying to show you, all right, is that there is somewhere in the middle of the call that what is excellent is not beauty. What is excellent is process. All right. Are you following what I'm saying? How many of you believe that ministers are servants of God? Let me see your answer. You believe the minister of God is servant of God? All right. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that there are times that certain things can be demanded from your life and ministry that even you will not understand? And God will deal with you with the consciousness that He did not owe you any apology, any explanation. Does He owe you an explanation? Alright, I mean, when we were constructing our tent, I shared with Papa three very strong instructions God gave to us. We did all the instructions. One of them, when God said it, my phone fell. That was when I knew that was the strongest. We did the tent. We did a match on Sunday. We're excited. We're to move into the tent another the next Sunday. On Thursday, the tent came down. stood. No explanation. No encouragement. Because the part of God that possesses men is not his speakings only. It is mostly his silence. Because when God is silent, there is now something that resumes work called patience. And scripture says that let it have a perfect work in you. Let it have a thorough work that you may be perfect, whole, and entire, wanting nothing. Men who are processed in the silence of God. Alright, and you see, something happened to me. And if you have gone through a process well, one of the major signs that you have gone through the process well is that you come out with thanksgiving. Let me explain. For instance, if you say that our ministry is broke, I mean, our ministry was running different. We want to do program years back. I mean, we have to donate ATMs. Everybody donate. Guest minister is preaching. There's no honorarium. I will be saying, Papa didn't teach us like this, but killer atishi. All right? There's no honorarium. Donate ATM. Everybody, I'm like, God, what is the first time Papa was praying for me? I say, he's praying that God will give, I can never forget that God is going to bless me with a car. I just said, this man knows that my need now is daily bread. I didn't believe. When I believe, it came. But I didn't believe. I know it's a word from God, but if you know where I was living, you know, if you have a car there, okay. All the thieves in Ife will come and say, open your door. We must. I mean. But if you truly go through a process, you will come back seeing the wisdom of God. Even while you might have murmured something, do you know? At the end of the day, when I look back at what happened, I had two prayer points. Lord, number one, mercy. Number two, thank you. Mercy in the sense that, and let me share this because this is a minister. Let me just share this. All right. Papa came down, people came down. I look at the fact that, I wish this person would even talk. I wish this person would even. Then it occurred to me by the Holy Ghost that there were times things were happening to people and you didn't take it serious too. It was the pulling down of a physical structure to build an internal structure. And I said, my. And that was when I knew what love work is. That you don't love people when they've done things that are lovable, but love has to be a state. Are you following what I'm saying here? And I looked at the process that went on in my heart and I said, my God, it is not good that a man should have entered into this next phase without this process being accomplished. And I had to say, Lord, thank you for making this happen. Now I know you are mindful of me. If you go through the process well, and even in that process, what God rates you as in the midst of those demolition, excellent. Excellent. You say, what is all this? I grew up in the north, and I've said this again, that Christianity in the north. Let me say this. Right? I know this, and I thank God for the kind of person Papa is, you know, his largeness of heart for giving us the space to fly. Honestly, you cannot do many of the things that is happening here everywhere else. You'll be in trouble. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me celebrate Papa and Mama. Tell me. It's true. Are you truly grateful? It's true. Let me say this. It's a prophetic word, but it's for the future. Christianity in the north does not seem to be very structural. All right? Compared to Christianity in the west. But Christianity in the north has ruggedity. Because in the north, people are like people that are dying daily. I mean, several times in church, we are told there are separate teachings in my church where I grew up on what to do if they stop you in a bus and say, many of you are Christians. And we're taught to be ready to die. And you know you are worshiping in a church where they can come and bomb the place. But some of you have seen pictures and videos of churches in Borno and different places. And they will bomb the place and the following service in the midst of those rubbles. People are still gathering and praising God. What is the rating of God for those people? Excellent. It is not as men sees. And one of my fears for Christianity in the West is that as the new Nigeria we have been praying for is going to be bettered. Now, amen, it's going to be bettered. But you see, if you read church history and read the history of nations, most of the nations, the revival in many nations died out as the nation was booming economically. Because people begin to see religion, begin to see Christianity as part of the problems. So if care is not taken and we begin to produce more managers than pastors, the only thing that will be left to manage is the light, music, choir. The substance might be gone. So what is the instruction for Christianity in the West? Don't close the cave of Adullam. The process that made our fathers, fasting, prayer, study of the word, dedication to it, attention. Do you know, all right, that sometimes a ministry is starting and you look at it and people do ministry with common sense. And the funny thing is that you are not necessarily going to get common results. You can get uncommon physical results with common sense. But according to God's rating, it is poor. All right? Somebody looks at ministry going and then says that, this kind of place, this. Let's leave it. When Judas betrayed Jesus, did they rent a new apostle? All right. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So, if you look at the ministry of Jesus from the physical standpoint, it is difficult to see that ministry as excellent. I mean, Jesus was speaking in the book of Acts. Peter was asking, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? After 3.5 years, for God's sake, how many years does it take to study microbiology? Imagine somebody finishing, not 4 years, so 4 academic years, you look at it, maybe 3 years. And then now asking the lecturer, please, sir, what is a cell? The core purpose of the reason why Jesus came, Peter didn't understand. And yet, God looked at that minister and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What was the rating of God? Other things are apart from what men understand. 1 John 3:8. Look at one of the criteria of an excellent ministry according to God to Jesus. 1 John 3:8. Please, let's celebrate, Pastor. Let's do that with honor, please. Thank you. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter number 3 verse 8. Look at it. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of sin. Meaning that, as far as God is concerned, their understanding is an aesthetics. And I'm going to show you that they understand. All Jesus need to do was that he had life and fulfill the dictates in Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, seeing that he was in all point tempted like we are, yet without sin. Because it is important that the sacrificial lamb that will carry the sin of the world must not be in the same prison of sin, must be the one who is blameless and spotless. When he goes, the Holy Ghost will come. So as far as God is concerned, faithfulness to doing that thing is excellence. And sometimes what happens is that people major on the minor and minor on the major. For instance, God has called a man that he should raise end time armies. However, the armies are scattered in different places. Some are in the banking sector, some are professionals, some are students, some are in different places. The structures to put in place to capture those people, all right, are the aesthetics. But you see, the substance of the word with which those guys will be reached are the major. Preparing yourself for the major, all right, is key to having an excellent ministry. So that at the end of the day, you don't have an icing, but there's no cake. I don't know if, let me say this to you. Alright, excellence is relative, in the sight of God, is relative to time and is relative to grace. And I'm going to explain what that means. Excellence is relative to time and is relative to grace. For instance, in Ecclesiastes number 3 verse 11, scripture says that God make all things beautiful. When? In their time. He makes all things beautiful in their time. Let me tell you what that statement is. Let's look at another person. What the description of God for this person means is that he's excellent, but it didn't make sense. John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9. Are you there? John chapter number 9. We're going to start reading from verse 1. Now, before we read that scripture, let me say this to you. Alright, I've told you that the root word for the word minister is the word stewardship. Alright, an excellent minister is in essence an excellent steward. Is that okay now? Say it after me. An excellent minister is an excellent steward. So what it means to be a minister is to be a steward. Now, a true minister is satisfied when God is glorified. A true minister is satisfied when God is glorified. So, to be an excellent minister, your satisfaction is the glorification of God. God is glorified when there is a manifestation of his purpose or his works. So we see a story in the book of John chapter number 9 from verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind, all right, from his bed. John 9 from verse 1. And his disciples asked him, saying, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, this is a very serious one. Look at it. Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. We try to explain that if anything happens that is contrary to what is perfect, it is because the man gave room for it. But scripture says that this one was designed like that, so that the works of God. How does it make sense? Why the burden I have is that if care is not taken, a time may come in the body of Christ, based on what we are trying to describe as good ministry, that we will have everybody in the city, they are no longer missionaries. Alright. That's the truth. Because we just want to tell ourselves that the proof that God is with you is that you have all the aesthetics. For 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelites didn't lack clothes. They didn't lack raiment. Their shoes didn't worn out. They didn't lack food. And scripture says for those 40 years, God wasn't happy with them. God can supply certain things because of his name, not because of endorsement. They are not necessarily a sign that God is here to endorse this man. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, I begin to bring this teaching to a close. So I said that excellence is relative to time, particularly to instructions given per time. Let me tell you what this means. One of the things that kills ministries, that prohibits ministries from being transgenerational, is the fact that many people don't know that what God used to announce a ministry might also be what the ministry will need to drop to enter into the next phase. And sometimes people hold on to those things longer than God, what God wants to do. Samson killed 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass, but it was important to throw away the jawbone because the jawbone was not going to be a relevant instrument for the next phase. And that's why if you look at church growth in Nigeria, alright, you look at the Nigerian church, you find out that, are you ready? Alright, you find out that sometimes what opened the gate of a generation, if not dropped, can prohibit the next move of God. The move of God is like a wave. You may rise with it. When you want to rise with the next one, you need to be humble enough to drop all what you think you know, to pick what God is now saying. God said to Abraham, kill Isaac. But later God was saying, use the ram. Some ministries have killed their Isaac because they heard what God said, not what God is saying. All right? And what God wants to do is to give us instructions per time. He is wiser than us. He knows the next move. He knows the peculiarity of the next generation. He knows. Listen, you cannot love your posture more than the kingdom. The reason why you have the posture is for the kingdom. If the one in charge of the kingdom says, take the next posture, be humble enough to drop it. If you look at the body of Christ in Nigeria now, we are going through a transition, and you can see that there are different things happening prophetically. Churches that used to be closed are now becoming open, because it is now the move that will usher in the coming of Jesus. It is not going to be denominational. It's going to be the kingdom move. And let me say this to you. I mean, the rating that your ministry is doing fine is the degree to which the product are imparting the body. All right. Are you following what I'm saying? Somebody says that this is the way I know how to do it. This is the way. This is where we're taught. Beautiful. But if this is where God is, be there. I mean, in the wilderness, God led the Israelites by the day with a pillar of cloud, by the night with a pillar of fire. The instruction was, as the pillar moves, you move. If you stay when the pillar is moving, what you are doing there is religion. You are where God was, not where God is. An excellent minister is not ahead of God or behind God. He is where God is. An excellent ministry is not ahead of God or behind God. The ministry is where God is. Meaning that there are no permanent structures in ministry. There are structures around where God is. And when God moves, we move with Him. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look at it. In Matthew chapter number 10, Jesus gave an instruction to the disciples. He told them, he said, I'm sending you out, but don't go out yet, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Among those that was giving that instruction was Peter. Are you following what I'm saying now? After the resurrection and they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter stood in defense of the church and spoke about the prophecy from Joel in Acts chapter number 2. And in that day, 3,000 souls were born, received to the kingdom. Later on, God came to him through a vision and let down a sheet from heaven, all right, containing different things. And God said to him, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, I was not going to eat. The same Jesus who said to him, go to the house of Israel, is now saying, now there is a parable of unclean things. It describes the way this same gospel must be exported to the Gentiles. Sit down, Peter. That was where God was, because the Holy Ghost has not been given. If you go out from Israel, what do you want to preach? What message do you have for them? Peter, kill it. But do you know that relative to what he has told him to do is a grace that will come upon the one who has the heart posture to take it to the Gentiles? What came on Paul did not come because he walked abundantly more than they all. No, he said, yet not I. That's the conclusion. Listen, graces are designed allocation for offices, not necessarily for a person. And that's why when you wander out of the office, it comes on the one who stays there. What God said was that go to the lost of the house of Israel. Now he was saying that kill, eat the unclean. What did Paul say when Paul was speaking about this? Alright, so Timothy said every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. It should be received with thanksgiving and supplication unto God. Meaning that your ministry cannot be larger than your heart capacity. It cannot. Alright, excellence is relative to time. Let me round up by, the Holy Ghost ministered some things to me when Papa was ministering. I'm just going to read them out. Look at it. If you look at a pastor, right, a Lamborghini, all right, you say this is an excellent pastor. But if the pastor is riding the Lamborghini, at the time that God expects him to still be digging, to God is not excellent. Let me tell you what that means. In ministry, you don't seek finance first, you go in faith first. If you are seeking finance when you should be growing in faith, that's not excellence. All right? Gehazi took gift. Elisha did not say, why did you take gift? He said, is this the time? Meaning that there's a time that will come that you can push and do all those things. All right? The Corinthians church were still being fed at the time they ought to be teachers. Is it wrong to be fed? No. But to be looking for milk when you be the one taking stuff is not excellent. All right? As a babe, what is excellent is growth. As an adult, what is excellence is that you turn many to righteousness. I sin is only necessary when there is a king. Everything must be built on the established fact that God is in the house. If God is not in the house, there is no accreditation to the ministry. Why buy light? Why buy smoke? I'm not saying those things are bad, but without the glory, it looks like a club. All right? Looks like a club. That's the truth. I mean, have you seen people gather up and do many things and you know, you just, man, God is not here. People can dance and dance. And sometimes we tell ourselves that the end justifies the means. To God, the means is more important than the end. As a matter of fact, at the end of the day, you may not get what the means you produce. But what you get is that God has made a man. Let me share a story with you. We had a meeting at some point in Covered Pavilion, I think precisely year 2014. We called that meeting the Borough Generation Conference. We were praying. I had 9 days dry fasting towards this meeting. I think I shared this story. I shared this story with Papa. I was angry. God, you need to come down and explain. 9 days dry. I was sleeping at Membo for 9 days. I will come to his own hostel at Awo and go and change and then go back. God told us, he told us that in this meeting, you will see my move in a way I've never, I thought what God was saying, that all the Benin should have been watching. The way I will move here, you'll be speaking here, people will be falling at Akintola. Brothers and sisters, when God told us that, I went to so white native. And I bought white shoe. I had imagined the way I'm going to enter into that meeting. My, the night. There was no car. They went to go and get a fellowship bus to come and pick me at Asherifa. The bus came. I was coming out of the coca. As I entered the bus, rain started. Pastor Dami is not here. He was the guest minister at that meeting. I mean, I got there. I'm not hearing keyboard. It was sounding. Rain was falling. I enter. For you to use cover pavilion, you are expecting 200 plus. I got there less than 13 people. In fact, thank God for the backup of the guest minister. They made the place full. What did God say is going to happen in this meeting? I was angry. That's the truth. Before I went to preach, I was angry. As I got there to preach, just where I was stuck, the rain went down before. It now started. Just under the pulpit, that was where the rain was now dripping on my head. As it was touching my head, it was like they were pouring petrol in fire. I was angry. I will tell them it's going to be an amazing meeting without you, God, saying that something will happen here that has never happened before. I was angry. But I still minister. People gave their life to Christ. All right, somebody with a lumps in the breast, it disappeared. Different healings took place, but I was angry. And after the meeting, I said, God, is this what you said is going to be a great meeting? Interesting. This is your definition of great. And God didn't say a word to me about it for more than a month. And after a while, I began to ask God for mercy. Sense came back to me. And God said, don't expect me to make a meeting when I'm still making a man. As far as God is concerned, his definition of excellence in that meeting is that the man is raising for himself, learns how to minister under any condition. And God is saying, according to my rating, when you pass this test, excellent. Let's bow our heads. All right, and I want us to ask God for spiritual wisdom to be right in place where God is. Not to miss a mark, not to miss anything, but right on time. To understand the way God thinks, to know His precepts, to know His methods. Let's go ahead and ask. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Please, can we rise on our feet? Father, we want to give you praise. I want to thank you for all your servants represented here and for different ministries who are different faces right now, that you have your own marking scheme for rating the activities going on in that ministry, those ministries. I ask, oh Lord, that your ministers will be filled with encouragement in their hearts and understand your requirements and your desires for every season. That our eyes of understanding is enlightened to know what you want and what you need from us at every season. That we will not miss the mark. We give you praise, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Papa.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account's details. Account number 221-500-5289, Femi Lazarus Ministries, UBA.